And open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. This is the time of the year where we remember Jesus' birth. And this is the time in our service where we remember Jesus' life and death to save us from our sins. Let's look at verses this morning in the early chapters of Matthew that bring these two together. As we look at three names for Jesus, that talk about who he was and what he came here to do. First, let's look at the name Christ. We find this in Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. After Jesus was born sometime later, wise men from the east came to offer him gifts. In their search for him, they first came to Herod. And in verse 11, they said to him, "Where is the king of the Jews to be born?" Herod then turns to the chief priests and the scribes, and he says to them, and he asks them where the Christ was to be born. Notice that the wise men were looking for the king of the Jews. Herod said the Christ. These two terms are synonymous, essentially. The Christ is the king of the Jews. This was the anointed one, Emmanuel. I'm sorry, Messiah, the Messiah that everybody was looking for. And note also in verse 5 that they knew where the Messiah was to be born, where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem in Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" The Christ was the king that the Jews were waiting for. He was the Messiah, the anointed one, the great shepherd. This first name, Christ, tells us something about who Jesus is. He was and is the king of the Jews. For the second name we'll look at is Emmanuel. Look at chapter 1, verse 23. We read, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and he shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us." Emmanuel, as the verse says, means God with us. Who was Jesus? This name tells us that Jesus was God in the flesh. This is what we refer to as the incarnation. Jesus, this baby in the manger, was the Christ, the King of the Jews, who all the Jews are waiting for. And he was and is the second member of the triune God, the eternal Son of God. Stepped down into this earth, he became a man. Fully God, fully man. This is Emmanuel, God with us. And he walked among sinful people. But why did he come here? Why did this king, the Christ, God, become a man and walk among us? We find that in the third name, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, that his name is Jesus. When Joseph, the husband of Mary, found out that Mary was with child, he meant to divorce her quietly. But an angel of the Lord appeared to him, and in 1:20 we read, "But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.'" Jesus comes from the Old Testament word Joshua, which means Yahweh is salvation. This last name tells us what Jesus came to do. He was a king. He was God in the flesh. And he came to save his people from their sins. This last name also tells us something about who we are, right? We are all in need of salvation from our sins. Our sins are many. Our sins are grievous. And God is just. And he must punish sinners, which is everybody. We all deserve an eternal punishment under God's wrath for our many sins. But Jesus came to save. How? How did he accomplish this salvation? As all four Gospels begin around Jesus' birth, so also all four Gospels end around Jesus' death. This is how salvation was accomplished. The King, Emmanuel, was crucified, and he died the death, and he took the punishment for all of those who would believe in him. These passages we've looked at, they don't comment specifically on the gravity of our sins, but we get a pretty good idea of it by looking at what it took and who it took to save us. A king, the Christ, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, Jesus, had to die in order for us to be saved. We take communion to remember Jesus, the Messiah, God in the flesh, and we take communion to remember what he did. He died the death that we deserve. And believer, as you sit there and remember Jesus, think about his life and death to save you from your sins. Examine your heart now and remember your Savior. And if there's sin in your heart that you're clinging on to that you need to repent from, take that time now and repent from it. One of the benefits of doing this every week is it gives us an opportunity every week to return from our sin. And remember that this is what believers do. This is what Christians do. We're saved from our sins. We don't walk in them. We don't hold on to them and not repent. So please repent and take communion with us. And if you're here and you have never trusted in Jesus to save you from your sins, know that this is a time for believers to remember Jesus and his work. But know this, that from these passages, you can be saved. You can be saved from your sins. Salvation is possible, and it's through no one else except through Jesus. You cannot save yourself by good works or by anything else. It is through Jesus alone. It took the King, God becoming flesh, to die in order for man to be saved. And simply by believing in him and turning from your sins, you too can be saved. And if you do, take communion with us. If not, let the bread and juice pass you by. So as the men come forward, remember Jesus and take the bread and juice on your own, and I'll come back up and close us in prayer.